The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter number 10, text number 6, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on April 24th, 2017, in Pune, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Amani.
Amani.
Amatsara.
Amatsara.
Daksha.
Daksha.
Nirmama.
Nirmama.
Dridha Sauhrida. Asatvara,
Asatvara,
Artha,
Artha,
Jigyasu,
Jigyasu,
Anasuya,
Anasuya,
Amogavak,
Amogavak,
Atmanyamatsaro Daksho,
Atmanyamatsaro Daksho,
Nirmamo Dhrida Sahrida,
Nirmamo Dhrida Sahrida,
Asatvara Artha Jigyasu, Anasur Yuramogavak, Amanyamataro, Amanyamatsaro Daksho,
Amanyamatsaro Daksho,
Nirmamo Diddhasahrida,
Nirmamo Diddhasahrida,
Asatvaro Tarjigyasur, Anasur Yuramogavak,
Amani,
without false ego.
Amatsara,
not considering oneself to be the doer.
Daksha,
without laziness. Nirmama, without any sense of proprietorship over one's wife, children, home, society, etc. Without any sense of proprietorship over one's wife, children, home, society, etc.
Dridhasahrida,
being fixed in the mood of loving friendship
with the spiritual master,
who is one's worshipable deity. Asatvara, without becoming bewildered due to material passion. Artha,
Jigyasu,
desiring knowledge of the Absolute Truth.
Anusuyu,
free from envy.
Amogavak,
completely free from useless conversation. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. That a servant or disciple of the spiritual master should be free from false prestige, never considering himself to be the doer. He should be active and never lazy, and should give up all sense of proprietorship over the objects of his senses, including his wife, children, home, and society. He should be endowed with feelings of loving friendship toward the spiritual master, and should never become deviated or bewildered. The servant or disciple should always desire advancement in spiritual understanding, should not envy anyone, and should always avoid useless conversations. Jai. Those are really good instructions for everyone to follow. Purport. No one can claim to be the permanent proprietor of his so-called wife, family, house, society, and so on. Such material relationships appear and disappear like bubbles on the surface of the ocean. No one can claim to be the creator of the material elements that produced one's home, society, and family. If it were a fact that parents were the ultimate creators of the bodies of their children, children would never die before their parents. The parents would simply create new bodies for the children. Similarly, parents also would not die because they would create new bodies for themselves to replace the old ones.
Actually, God creates everyone's bodies as well as the material elements with which we build our material societies. Therefore, before death drags these things out of our grasp, we should voluntarily engage them in the loving service of the spiritual master, who is the bona fide representative of Lord Krishna. Then such material objects, instead of causing lamentation, will be the cause of happiness. Now, if you're hearing all these warnings about home, wife, children, possessions, etc., the very end, Prabhupada surprises us. He says that such material objects will be the cause of happiness. He's talking about real happiness. It's pretty amazing. They can either be the cause of lamentation or the cause of happiness. So even a brahmachari has some possessions. And the house owners have many, many possessions. So how do you make these objects, which you consider to be your possessions, the cause of happiness? It's very simple. You simply engage them in Krishna's service. That's all. Artificially renouncing does not liberate you, although you may think you're liberated. It is called the Bhagavatam Vimukti Maninas. Vimukti Maninas. Liberation in the mind only. The Mayavadi, he goes, Neti, 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 Neti. Now he thinks he's a liberated soul, but he's still attached to Neti, Neti. That's his material attachment. Neti, Neti is his attachment. Actually, the Brahma Samhita describes such personalities who achieve impersonal Brahman liberation. Text number, chapter 5, text 34. Pantastukoti satsavatsa sampragyam yo vayor ratapi manaso munipungavanam sopyasti yat papachintya vachinta tat ve govindamadi purusham tamaham vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord. Only the tip of the toe of whose lotus feet is approached by the yogis who aspire after the transcendental and betake themselves to pranayama by drilling the respiration, or by the gyanis who try to find out the non-differentiated Brahman by the process of elimination of the mundane extending over thousands of millions of years. So these so-called liberated persons, the Brahmavadis, you see, for thousands and millions of years, they endeavor in this way. And what do they get? Do they get Krishna's lotus feet? No. They only get the first is the tip of the toe. The Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakura and his purpose, they only approach the precincts of the lotus feet of the Lord. It's like somebody wants to go to the U.S. and they don't have a proper passport, or they don't have a proper visa to get in, but somehow they get on, they let them on the airplane, they land in New York City, but they can't clear customs. They put them back on the next plane to India, you see. They got very close. They landed in New York City, but they can't clear customs. They have to go back to India. So that's the impersonalist. You see, they get close, but they can't clear customs. Visa requires bhakti. Visa to the spiritual world requires bhakti. You may be there, but you're not really there. You see? So simply to detach yourself from material things, you will, even if you go on for millions of years cultivating that detachment, like the yogis and the gyanis, millions of years cultivating that detachment, there's still attached detachment. So the intelligent person realizes, well, I'm going to give up all attachments. I have to also give up being attached to detachment. That was my realization as a spiritual seeker. I was following the path of neti neti. Deny, 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 deny. But then I realized now I have to deny denial. Now I have to embrace something spiritual. They've been burned by embracing in this material world, embracing fame, embracing money, embracing women. They've been burned. So now they don't want to embrace anything, you see. But they embrace non-embracement. That's another form of embracing. Therefore, they're not happy. They don't attain the bliss of bhakti. The one who knows the art of dovetailing everything in the service of the Lord, he is the truly liberated soul. He will never fall down. The Mahavadi, they will fall down. Prabhupada compares it to flying in the sky. You can get you an airplane, you fly in the sky, but after a while you run out of gas, you have to come down again. By dint of their tapa, their austerities for millions of lifetimes, they can fly in the Brahman sky for some time. But after they exhaust the result of all those austerities and piet activities, apunti at ho, they fall down again to the material nature. You see. So why make such an endeavor to merge into Brahman when it's only a temporary, illusory sort of liberation? It's not genuine liberation. Why work so hard for millions of years? It's less intelligent. One should intelligently try to take a hold of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita within one's heart. Krishna is Mukunda. He is the giver of liberation. Even the impersonal liberation, it is coming from Krishna. So why not take the best thing that Krishna has to offer? It's interesting, in the Bhagavatam it's described that impersonal liberation is perfect liberation. And Paramatma realization is more perfect realization, and Bhagavan realization is most perfect realization. So you can have the perfect, the more perfect, or the most perfect. The beauty of it is, the most perfect is the most easy to achieve also. It's the easiest to achieve. The perfection of impersonal Brahman realization is very, very difficult. Paramatma realization, very, very difficult. But Bhagavan realization, even though it is rarely achieved, if one can get the dust of the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas upon his head, he can achieve the topmost liberation. So that is our mission. We want to give this perfection of liberation, topmost perfection of liberation to all the suffering souls of this world, simply by bringing them into contact with Krishna, especially through this chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So we want the whole world to be happy. That is our mission. We can't stand to see people suffering. That is Vaishnava. See, we have till 9:40. We have a half an hour. Okay. So why don't we open it up for questions? Challenges are also welcome, by the way. If you want to challenge our philosophy, I'll shoot you down. Because this is the philosophical Mount Everest. This is the king of knowledge, Rajavidya. You want to pose as a Mayavadi, and they can also do it as a posing. You know, there's a pastime where Prabhupada would, on his way to Africa with my godbrother Madhavisha, talk about a fortunate devotee. Just imagine you're on the airplane for 7 hours with Prabhupada, just you and Prabhupada sitting together for 7 hours. They were sitting in actually first class because they had deities also in front of them. there's Radha and Krishna in front of you, big deities in front of you, in front of the seat, and you're sitting there with Prabhupada for 7 hours, just you and Prabhupada all alone. Just imagine that golden opportunity. So Prabhupada said, now we will have a debate. See, how did he begin? Yeah, you be the Mayavadi and I'll be the Vaishnava. So Madhavisha, he gave all the Mayavadi. He gave all the Mayavadi arguments, and Prabhupada expertly defeated them. Boom, 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 boom. And then Prabhupada said, okay, now I'll be the Mayavadi and you be the Vaishnava. And Madhavisa thought, oh, I know all the arguments. I just heard all the arguments. So easily I can defeat the Mayavadi philosophy. But he couldn't. Prabhupada completely smashed him with Mayavadi philosophy. He couldn't debate with Prabhupada. Prabhupada smashed him completely. He was totally defeated. So Prabhupada said, this is how you should be expert in debate. You can even take your opponent's position and defeat your own arguments, and then defeat that, and then defeat that. So this is what, especially you brahmacharis, you should become very expert in philosophy. So if you would like to make some challenging statements, I'll be happy to show you how to defeat them. Not that they're real. I know you're not challenging, but if you want to pose as a challenger, that's okay. Some devotees, due to previous conditioning, end up in doing sinful activities. What such devotees should do to reestablish properly devotional service? A little kid learning how to walk will fall down inevitably, but the parents encourage him, get up, Johnny, you can do it, or Amit, you can get up. Come on, Amit, you can get up. So you get up, that's all. If you fell down due to your past bad habits, that's not unusual. Just pick yourself up and keep trying, and you will master the art. You should encourage them. Next. The most perfect is easy to achieve has been mentioned in lecture. Then why it becomes difficult to give up bad habits and practice bhakti with determination? It's simply a matter of conditioning, but you can recondition yourself. Just like you all grew up here in India, so you can easily speak Hindi, you see. It just comes naturally for you to speak Hindi, doesn't it? Now, for me to speak Hindi is not very easy, you know. It's a little unnatural for me, because I grew up speaking English. Because you grew up with both. But you're habituated to something, it's easy to do it. So you can also rehabituate yourself if you desire. By putting yourself in a different atmosphere, you can rehabituate yourself. So you've been habituated to nonsense. Now you just have to put yourself in a spiritual atmosphere and rehabituate yourself to devotional service. It will become a natural habit in due course of time. Now it may seem artificial sometimes, but believe me, if you stick to it, it'll become what they call second nature. It becomes natural for you to offer obeisances, to be respectful, to hear, to chant about Krishna. These things will become spontaneous in due course of time. How to bring about what we read and hear in our daily contemplation in our activities? Same thing. Practice, 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 practice. By practice, it'll become automatic in due course. What is the difference between Mayavadis fall down and devotees fall down? A Mayavadi has already fallen. There's no question of a fall down for a Mayavadi. Devotee's position is, even a devotee who has fallen, he's a million times better than a Mayavadi. So the devotee will be rectified because he understands that he's the eternal servant of Krishna. The Mayavadi is doomed. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Mayavadi basha sunilai hoi sarvanash. Anyone who has understood this Mayavadi philosophy, they are doomed. Somehow, I would say, because I was a very staunch Mayavadi. I am Krishna. I was one of those who believed that he was Krishna. I first went to the temple. I was chanting Hare. And I liked the mantra. Some friend of mine taught it to me. I was chanting Hare Krishna in the temple room. Some Brahmacharini comes up. She says, "Oh, you're chanting so nicely." I was thinking, oh, if she only knew that I am Krishna. You see? So I was staunch Mayavadi, that I am God, you're God, we're all God. But somehow or other, I was saved. I was saved by the mercy of the devotees. Many devotees worked on me. And finally, Vishnujan Swami was the one who really brought me out of the dense darkness of illusion to become the devotee of Krishna. It is said, familiarity breeds contempt. When we come to bhakti, and we are now, we see all devotees as senior and advanced, but after spending some 5 to 10 years, we know the devotees very closely, and we know their faults, and this affects my seeing them in the same way I used to see them in the beginning. Yeah, that's a very common thing. Familiarity breeds contempt. So you have to really learn how to worship the Vaishnavas and always see the wonderful things about the devotees in spite of their faults, which are there. We're struggling neophytes, so it's naturally have some faults. But you have to always worship and see the divine qualities of the devotees. You shouldn't just write somebody off as a nonsense because you can see a fault in them. See your own faults first, and then appreciate the wonderful good qualities of that devotee. Prabhupada says a devotee is someone who sees the good in others. That's a devotee. So if you're too much of a fault finder, that means you're in a karmi mentality, and you shouldn't do that. Now, the point is actually mastered his own faults, and he's very humbly understanding his position, but he has a service to correct others and train others, then it's his duty to point out faults. It's like, I hope I didn't overdo the etiquette by pointing out your fault of cheating obeisance. You see, I pointed out a fault. I just hope I didn't overstep my bounds by doing that. But sometimes we do have to point out faults. But you're not really qualified to point out faults unless you can worship that devotee's divine qualities. If you can worship the divine qualities of a devotee genuinely within your heart, then you're qualified to correct them if it's necessary to correct them. Otherwise, you're not qualified. Krishna says, "I am Himalaya. I am Indira among the demigods in Bhagavad Gita," which means Jiva and Krishna are the same. That is half of our philosophy, Achincha Veda Veda Tattva. The living entity and the Lord are the same and not the same at the same time. That is our philosophy. Actually, everything Prabhupada said in one place in his books, he says, everything is Krishna. Wow. Everything is Krishna, save and except his original primeval personality. So actually, everything that exists is Krishna's expanded energy. Where did you come from? Your mother and father? Is that where you came from? No, we all came from Krishna. We are all the expanded energy of Krishna. Nothing exists except Krishna and the expanded Krishna. So in that sense, everything is Krishna. At the same time, it is different. This is like the sun. You see? I can say, well, I see the sun is now on the porch. That's the sunshine, but it's not the sun planet. So the sun has come to the porch, hasn't it? I can see the sun has come to the porch. But that's the sunshine, not the sun globe. The sun globe, we all be dead. You see? So Krishna is like the sun. And we are like the shine of the sun. So in that sense, we are Krishna. So we're the energy of Krishna. So this is a Achincha Veda Veda philosophy. One has to understand this properly. Next. I heard the devotional service that Krishna embraces all of our occupations. We just have to engage it in Krishna's service. I have possession of being an actor. How can I engage in Krishna's service? Do we do dramas sometimes here? Yeah. The temple has put some dramas, so come and be an actor in the drama. As far as your Bollywood acting and whatever you're doing, everyone needs an occupation, so you can take whatever reputation you have as a Bollywood actor and use it to tell people about Krishna, or whatever income you make, help support this movement. Or become really successful where you can make your own movies, produce your own movies, and you can educate the whole world with Krishna conscious movies and the science of bhakti. Go all the way and become the ultimate superstar, and then you can demand Krishna conscious movies from your producer. That's another thing. How does one atone for breaking one of the regulative principles? Take up the process again. There's no atonement other than the process itself. Now we have so many devotees. They're so-called devotees. Oh, wait a minute. You sound like you're a so-called devotee. Some behave good and also are trustworthy, but not all. Well, that's natural. There's Kanishta Adhikaris, Madhyam Adhikaris, and Uttam Adhikaris. There's different levels of devotees, and everyone's welcome, but we have to understand there are differences. We are also told to associate with pure devotees. So you take shelter of those who are the Uttamadikaris, those who are highly advanced in Krishna consciousness. Those who are more advanced than you, you take shelter of them. Those who are equally advanced, you befriend them. And those who are less advanced, you give kindness to them and you preach to them to help them come to a higher standard. It's very simple. Pastimes in the Mahabharata had to suffer reactions, or Pandavas, had to suffer reactions and go to the heavenly planets. They are pure devotees, so how karma, or they had to suffer reactions for... These are all transcendental pastimes. These are great pure devotees of the Lord, associates of the Lord. It's all lilas. How impersonal tendencies can creep into a devotee's life, how to overcome them. Impersonalism in devotee life means to not really open your heart up to the Vaishnavas. I remember when I first joined, one senior devotee said, "Don't love the devotees, only love Krishna." It didn't sound right. Only love Krishna? You can't love the devotees? I mean, I was with Vishnu John Swami. He was so full of love for everyone. I mean, everyone. He was just giving love to everybody. It was amazing to see him preaching and the way he dealt with people. And here's somebody who said, only love Krishna? It didn't make sense. But he couldn't say anything. He was a senior devotee. He ended up leaving the movement, by the way, because his philosophy was not correct. But then later on, another book came out called The Nectar of Instruction. And Prabhupada, and actually Rupa Goswami, describes the six types of loving exchanges between devotees. And I went, yeah, I knew it all along. You're supposed to love devotees. Die. Now it's confirmed by Rupa Goswami, you see. So impersonalism, when a devotee, means you don't want to have loving exchange, you know. Like there was one song called, "I Trust, I Am a Rock, I Am an Island. I trust no one and no one trusts me." Don't be like that. You learn how to have loving reciprocation with Vaishnavas. That's how you overcome impersonalism. Many devotees are told that by doing devotion, we will go to God's kingdom. How I will know whether to go to God's kingdom or any other kingdom after death? Well, don't worry about it. Say, "Krishna, I'm yours. If you want me to go to Batala Loka for opening a voice down there, I'm willing. I'm your servant. Wherever you... Janme, janme. Prabhu say, you are my Lord, birth after birth." Don't we sing that to Prabhupada? "Prabhupada, I'm your eternal follower." You see? "Prabhu, janme, janme. Prabhu say, I'm your follower, birth after birth. If you want me to take 1,000,000 births here to keep preaching, I'm willing to do that. You want me to come back to Goloka to be a cowherd boy or a cowherd girl or a peacock or a cow or a bush or a rock, whatever you want me to do. I'm really open to it, you see. That's the mood. You don't have to worry about where you're going to go at the time of death. Actually, you're guaranteed to go back to Godhead. But if you have a strong desire to preach, you could also take birth again for preaching. Or you can do both simultaneously. That's another possibility. To be preaching here, and also as Prahlad Maharaj is in both worlds simultaneously described by Prabhupada's purport in the fifth canto, you can actually go back to Godhead and still be here preaching also at the same time. That's an interesting one. Be in Krishna Leela and also in Chaitanya Leela here in this world. Actually, we see Rupa Goswami has two different identities, Rupa Manjari and Rupa Goswami. He's a gopi and a sannyasi at the same time. Pretty amazing, huh? Well, you can be a gopi and a sannyasi at the same time. So just be surrendered, fully surrendered to whatever Krishna wants, and I guarantee you're going to have an amazing, one heck of an amazing future. I guarantee you, you'll be absolutely astounded at how wonderful it is when you actually enter into pure bhakti completely. Do I share the reactions of committing sin? Do I share the reactions of committing offenses, blasphemy, a blasphemy of devotees by family members and relatives? No, you don't get the karma of your relatives, thank God. No, because we have actually, who are our relatives here? Actually, every single jiva soul is our relative. So you don't get the karma of your relatives, no. You get your karma, not theirs. I have management-related services, and as part of seva, in management meetings, I get to hear the faults of Vaishnavas. How can I be safeguarded from having the faults? From hearing the faults of Vaishnavas and be saved from them? Well, sometimes we have to hear the faults of Vaishnavas. Just like I pointed out your fault, isn't it? The cheating obeisances? You heard that. So if a fault is being pointed out, and Prabhupada pointed out many faults, if a fault is rightly being pointed out, it's not poison to hear that. But you have to always be humble and realize I myself am full of faults. That's your service, that you have to help rectify the faults that are going on amongst the devotees, and that's your service. You have to learn how to do it in a humble mood, realizing that you also are full of faults. But your service is to help others get out of their faults. Also, my respect for these devotees is reduced. You have to see, always worship the Vaishnavas. Anande bolo hade vrinda. Anande bolo bhaja vrinda. Anande bolo hari bhaja vrinda. Vansi guru Vaishnava pade maja yaman. You have to always worship the Vaishnavas. Even if you're seeing their faults, you have to be in the mood of serving them and loving them and helping them overcome their faults. How to get empowered to preach. You're already empowered by Lord Chaitanya. Take the empowerment and go. The order is already there. Get out there and slave the world. You know what Prabhupada told us? He said, become guru, deliver the whole world. That's empowerment. Prabhupada has already ordered to become guru and deliver the world. So what are you waiting for? You've already got the empowerment. Now get off your lazy asana and get out there and do some preaching. My prayers are filled of selfish desires. Well, how to develop self? Just pray to Krishna. My dear Krishna, please help me get free of this nonsense selfishness and become the non-envious well-wisher of all living beings. Pray for that. Pray for pure bhakti. Don't pray for an extra chapati. Pray for pure bhakti. Krishna will feed you. You don't have to worry about that. How to read Prabhupada's books nicely, page by page. Read one page, read the next page, and then the next page. How else are you going to do it? You got to go line by line, word by word, page by page, chapter by chapter, canto by canto. Every devotee should read, especially brahmacharis, must read all of the books. Otherwise, you're not really a brahmachari. You're just a fake. You're just a fake. Not a real brahmachari if you haven't read all the books. Read all the books. You have time. The house orders are busy working. You have so much time to read. Just have to utilize it. Even if it's just like when I was in my brahmachari days, I was doing some campus preaching, and a new thing came out. A new thing was introduced to ISKCON called Bhaktivedanta tape ministry. But where's the time to hear all the tapes? We got about 5 or 6 new tapes every week. It just popped up. He had just spoken on the morning walk, and now we got a tape 3 days after the morning walk. It's hot off the press, as they say. Right out of the lotus lips, we have it 3 or 4 days after he spoke it. Here's a new tape a Prabhupada just said last week. Wow. Talk about nectar. Where's the time to hear all the tapes? You got to, you know, clean the dishes, mop the floor, get out, go out and preach. Where's the time? But, you know, I found some time. You know where the time was? Lunch prasadam. I don't need to eat that much. I can have a nice breakfast and skip lunch every day, and I did that. I went to the brahmachari ashram during lunch every day, and I listened to every one of those tapes, and I took notebook after notebook after notebook of notes on those tapes. I still have those notebooks. After 43 years, I still have all those notebooks of all the notes I took from hearing all of those tapes. And then I went out and preached in the afternoon, and boy, was I empowered. I heard it from Prabhupada, from his mouth. And I go out, I was preaching to the students on the campus with a free lunch program. And in those days, all the students were hippies and Mayavadis. And we really had to defeat Mayavadi philosophy right on. They would say, it's all one, man. They would challenge us. They'd come up and directly say Mayavadi philosophy. My godbrother, Shamakunda, actually, I made him. It was amazing how I made him a devotee. All I did was I took a harmonium to the campus. I put a blanket, a harmonium, and a bowl of Simply Wonderfuls. I sat down and started chanting Hare Krishna. He came up. I gave him a Simply Wonderful, and he became a devotee immediately. He moved in the temple. He shaved up, dropped out of school, put on a saffron, became a book distributor overnight. It's amazing. And he was out preaching on the campus, and he met one of these Mayavadis that is all one, man. So Shamakunda, he was no philosophical fluff. He said, well, if it's all one, give me your wallet. Give me your wallet with all your money. You really believe it's all one, then give me your wallet. So the boy did it. He gave his wallet. So Shamakunda immediately went back to the temple with a wallet. Headed back to the temple with a wallet. And the boy had to come to the temple to try to get his wallet back. And now he was meeting with Amarendra, the temple president. He was very heavy, very heavy. In fact, he's ISKCON's attorney in L.A. now. He's very, very heavy. He's the one who fought the Robin. He won court cases in the court arguing for ISKCON. Amarendra is one of the most powerful debaters in our whole movement. He was the temple president at that time. So the boy had to come and beg from Amarendra to get his wallet back. Well, he finally convinced him, minus $20 and a set of Krishna books. So, yeah, read the books. Even if you have to skip a meal and say you don't have any time, you have to sacrifice to read these books. They're more important than anything else. You have to. Give up your sleep, give up your eating. Somehow or other, read these books. You must all read these books. I'm ordering you. You must all read all of these books. How to cultivate friendly relationships with the spiritual master. At the same time, be respectful. Friendly means obedient. You're not his enemy. It's not that you're buddy-buddy with them. Haribo Gurudev, how's it going? Not like that. No, friendly means you bow down at his lotus feet and be ready to be ordered to do this and do that. That's friendly for a disciple. You're not inimical. You're surrendered to him. We know intellectually that sex life is miserable and painful, but still why this sex desire doesn't go away from the mind. Because you have been mad after sex for millions and billions of lifetimes. Romeo, Juliet, right? So you have to kick it out. Prabhupada ordered me, as I mentioned earlier, he said, you want to be, I had a desire to become a successful preacher, and I told Prabhupada that. He said, therefore, no sex desire. You want to be a successful preacher? Prabhupada says, no sex desire. And you know what Prabhupada said very mercifully? You know what he wrote me? He challenged me. He said, whether you can be like that. He challenged me. Whether you can be free from sex desire, you see. Very mercifully. Now I have to show Prabhupada, yes, Prabhupada, I can do it. By your mercy, I can do it. I can kick out this nonsense sex desire from the heart, you see. Because actually, there's something better than sex. So who needs it? You know what it is? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Hare. That's more fun than sex. It's more nectarian and more relishable than sex pleasure. Chanting Hare Krishna is better than sex. So who needs sex? If all you knew to eat was stool, you might think the stool is very delicious. Once you have one of these nice rasagulas they make here at ISKCON Pune, you wouldn't want to eat stool again, would you? No way. Okay. All right. Whether the seed of Krishna prema is given by the spiritual master or is already there within everyone's heart, is in the sloka it is said, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabha Raishada Nandi Shadja Chitti Kalaya Yudai. Actually, you already have pure bhakti within your heart, but the spiritual master revives it. And when he does plant the seed of bhakti in your heart, but it's the seed, the revival of your Krishna consciousness. You actually are a devotee. You already a pure devotee of Krishna. You already are. You're one of his associates from the spiritual world. You're already a pure devotee, but it's buried right now. So the spiritual master plants the seed of the revival of your Krishna consciousness through sound vibration. Lord Chaitanya says, to behave tanadapi sanichena, but we have heard that we should express emotions, not suppress. So how to balance our emotions and remain humble? Well, actually, your real emotion is humility. There's no contradiction here. The real emotion of the soul is humility. So there's no contradiction between these things. Your actual emotion you have as a real spiritual being is your humility. You naturally have that emotion. Why is the mind so powerful, even though we try our best not to indulge in sense gratification? We fall prey to Maya. Does Maya not want to qualify to serve Krishna? Should give up or try strugglingly till my last breath? I feel it is a very tough problem. Guide us. The mind is your best friend or your worst enemy. Right now it's our worst enemy. But when you yato nishchalati manaschanchalamashtaram tatashtato yanam yaitat atmanyeva vishamniya. From wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly conquer it and bring it back under the control of the self. If you'll grab that mind and bring it back and say, okay, rascal, you're going to stop this nonsense of thinking about this and thinking about that. Now you are just going to focus on pure devotional service from now on for all of eternity. You got that, mind? You have to be tough with your mind, very tough. The mind will say, oh, okay. The mind will say, finally just give in. If you get hammering your mind like that, eventually your mind will give in. And your mind will say, okay, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Be tough with your mind. Be tough. A swami means one who is the master of his mind. So you must all be swami, master of the mind. How much we should hear from our spiritual masters and Srila Prabhupada in terms of something. Because we have limited time, although... Oh yeah, so how much time we should spend hearing versus service. That's a very interesting question. Prabhupada said you should always be engaged in study. And you should always be engaged in doing service. Well, how do you do that? I remember one year is in my glorious brahmachari days, they said, the sori said, well, you know, we're sending you to Houston to become the vice president. So, okay, I'm moving up from being the bhakta leader, the assistant bhakta leader, to become the vice president, moving up the ISKCON ladder. I was a little puffed up. So I got on the bus, I went over to Houston, and I got there, and the cook said, oh, Sankarshan Prabhu, please come here. He took me into the kitchen. He says, here's your pots, here's your spices, here's your rice and the dal. You're the head cook. All right, Paul, I'm going to Miami. So I get to be the vice president, but I was the head cook. And this was a temple where every single devotee went on a book distribution every day except for one. So I was so intense. That year was so intense. I had to answer the phone. Any guest who came, I had to take care of the guests. I had to offer every arti. I had to make up the plates, transfer the plate. I had to do everything all by myself. One day I had to pass stool between the offering and the arti. And believe it or not, I did it. I was like, go up, pass stool, come down, put on tilak, in time for the arti. It was so intense. In 10 minutes, I was able to pass stool and put in tilak, dhoti, and be in time for the arti. The arti was on time. That's how intense it was. And it was so heavy. One day I had to mail a letter. And somehow or other, it was a miracle. I was able to squeeze it into my schedule. I was able to walk one block from the temple and mail a letter. I was amazed. How did I squeeze that into my schedule? It was so intense. So where was the time to read? There was no time to read. Wow. You know, I found one time in the week to read when I was making the burfi. I would stir the burfi with the right hand and I'd read with the left hand. Somehow I didn't burn the burfi. By Krishna's grace, the burfi came out good and I was able to read Krishna book while I was stirring the burfi. Once a week, I was able to read while I stirred the burfi, and that was it. But there was one saving grace. There was a tape recorder in the pujari room and a speaker in the kitchen. And there was about three lectures of Prabhupada. That's all we had. But I heard those lectures hundreds of times. And they went deep, 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 deep into my heart. The Hyderabad temple opening address became my whole consciousness was pervaded with Prabhupada's lecture. So the thing was, actually, during that time of intense service, I actually gained a very strong connection with Prabhupada's teaching just by hearing that lecture again and again and again. I still remember certain points from that lecture. In India, you know, only what are they called? The one who cleaned the toilet, what are they called? Bungee? Bungee. Huh? Bungee, yeah. Only bungees touch the toilet, right? And a Brahmin would never touch toilet. He would never clean the temple, and the bungies do such things. So Prabhupada in the temple, he said, the temple is the body of Krishna. Don't think otherwise. Whether you're worshipping the deity or cleaning the temple, it's the same thing. So he was kicking out this bungie, you know, consciousness that I'm a Brahmin, I don't clean. I only do puja, I don't do cleaning work. Prabhupada made it very clear. He hammered very heavily this point in Hyderabad for the temple opening. So it was a very enlightening year. And then after that, Krishna gave me more facility to read again. But the thing is, one thing I realized during that intense period where I was just doing service, practically no time for anything, just service constantly the whole day. I realized that actually, Prabhupada said, again, that's when I got the quote, always do service and always study. Prabhupada said, we have to do both things simultaneously. So how do you do that when you're serving? Well, if you're intelligent, if you're observant, you will study what devotional service is when you're actually putting it into practice. Just like when you're taking a chemistry course, you hear in the lecture that H2O equals water, and then you go to the laboratory and you actually do it. Now, in the laboratory, you're making the water out of hydrogen and oxygen. Is that not also studying the science of chemistry when you're in the laboratory making the water? So when the practical service is the laboratory of the science of bhakti. You're in the lab, you're actually doing what you're studying. So you can't tell me that if you're in the right mood, you'll be studying 24 hours a day while you're doing the service also. That's the laboratory of the science of bhakti. So you have that consciousness, you'll always be studying. Whether you're serving or studying, you'll always be studying. How we become humble and cultivate surrender. That's by being fully obedient to the orders you receive from your Guru Maharaj. Can you please tell something about His Holiness Vishnu Jana Maharaj? Yeah, he's sweeter than the sweetest honey. Very sweeter than the sweetest honey, I can say that. Prabhupada said, because he is a nice devotee, he has made so many nice devotees. And of course, I was one of the not nice people that he made. But no, he was amazing. The way he could attract people, I mean, he would just tell people about Prabhupada. I mean, even there was in Austin, there was a little, when he was preaching there was a little girl. It's a little tiny baby. She heard about Prabhupada and Vishnu Janaswami. And just a little girl, she'd never seen Prabhupada. She only heard about him. And the little girl would go, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. She would call the name of Prabhupada with love. Just by hearing the way he described Prabhupada, the little girl fell in love with Prabhupada. Can you imagine? A little girl going, Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. A little baby girl, just by hearing about him from Vishnu Janaswami. That was the amazing quality. You can imagine what kind of empowered preacher he was. It was absolutely amazing. Thank you for your association. It is said that after initiation, if someone becomes or breaks the regulated principles of illicit sex, and then do really a master to really up master suffer? Does the spiritual master suffer? Yes. If you have illicit sex after initiation, you are punishing your spiritual master. He's going to get a reaction for your breaking the principles. So don't have illicit sex. Why do you need illicit sex? It's disgusting. It's dirty. Would you eat a piece of stool? Having illicit sex is like eating a piece of stool. Sitting down for breakfast with a nice piece of stew, a little salt and pepper on it. I mean, come on. What kind of nonsense is that? Illicit sex is dirty, disgusting, abominable filth. Why do you want to eat that nonsense? Most of the time, I experience. Prabhupada said the position of the sex, that how nasty it is. Most of the time, I experience that when I make strong determination to progress in Krishna consciousness, then Maya's strong illusions come to me. No, Prabhu, you are not making strong determination. You're wrong. Maya's strong illusions only come when you are weak in your determination. Because you're weak in your determination, therefore Maya's strong illusions are coming. You have to become staunch, heavy, powerful, determined in your determination. Just like that boy Dhruva, when he went to the forest to seek out Lord Vishnu, Narada Muni came and tested him. He said, "My dear little boy, you should go home. What are you doing in the forest? This is something for later on in your life." So you know how determined Dhruva was? He said, "If you're telling me to go home, I'm telling you to go home." So that's how you have to be, like Dhruva. Very, very determined that I will realize God. I have been suffering for millions of lifetimes. Now I've gotten the opportunity. I've gotten the seed of bhakti. Therefore, in this lifetime, I will staunchly dedicate myself right now to becoming perfect in Krishna consciousness as soon as possible. If you have that determination, Maya will back off and say, "I'm your servant." Maya will back off. She will now serve you and help you to become Krishna conscious more. So our time is up, and we thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.